We're reading today from Psalm 124 on page 517 of your Bibles. Psalm 124, a song of ascent of David. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth.
Thanks, Fiona. And hello, my name's Kev. I'm the senior minister here at Euston Church. Really good to see you if you're visiting, if you're new with us. Great to have you with us this morning. The observant among you will notice that I'm not Jack. That was not a reading from Romans chapter 8. And this is not a talk on the beauty of prayer. So sorry about that, which is what was advertised. Jack's been out of action for the last couple of days. He should be back with us for midweek this week. But anyway, you get me on Psalm 124 instead. So there you go. What if? Are you a what if kind of person? You know, there's a whole branch of study that loves to speculate on the what ifs of history. So if that Austrian Archduke hadn't been assassinated, would there never have been a World War I? And then what if the Marvel Universe have a whole series called What If? If you thought they already had incessant movies, they're even more endless when you can fire out new content about alternate endings. What if the Earth had been destroyed? What if Hulk had fought a different baddie? I mean, who cares? Or the what ifs of sport. What if England hadn't missed all those penalties at major tournaments over the years? Sorry to mention it. Actually, I'm Scottish. I'm not sorry to mention it at all. But we ask what ifs more personally too. Quite practical, actually, to be a what if person if it makes you good at anticipating risks. What if it rains? What if the kids feel sick on the journey? I always forget to think about that one. But can also be painful what ifs when they are reflections back on the story of our lives. So what if I'd got the job? What if she hadn't died? And maybe actually the most haunting what ifs are when we seemed to personally choose the path that unfolded. What if I'd gone on the date with that person? What if I'd worked harder? What if I'd never moved to London in the first place? What ifs and if onlys, they can eat away at the thankfulness of our hearts. Maybe you felt that in the past. Maybe you're feeling that right now. I'm really sorry if that's the case. This is a series on prayer. By the way, we normally teach through Bible books. I said last week we'll come back to that as our usual pattern, going through Habakkuk and then Song of Solomon in the run-up to Easter. We've rarely, though, spent extended time learning about prayer, which was one of the main hallmarks of the early church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, and to the prayers. And I worry that prayer is a weaker area for us collectively, because I worry it for myself. So the aim of this series is that we pray. We'll focus on unanswered prayer next week. We could have called this one answered prayer, because as part of a healthy prayer life, there is a kind of what if that is good to dwell on and that this psalm wants to lead us into. So verse 1, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Verse 2, if it had not been the Lord. So first, if the Lord had not been on our side. In other words, what if he hadn't been? Ever struggled to believe the Lord is on your side. You're not a weirdo. That's always been a battle for the people of God. Exodus 15, rescued. One of the greatest of all time miracles in human history. But Exodus 16, grumbling. And Exodus 17, you know, we're only on the next page of the Bible. They actually say, is the Lord among us or not? Is he even on our side? Unbelievable. Or is it unbelievable? You know, all it needs for me is that we run out of milk. You know, oh, God's against me. The battle for the people of God in every generation. And I think the secret to the Christian life. Will we stay thankful people in all the highs and the lows? How is your prayer life going? I wonder, it's a good series to reflect on that. I wonder if you've talked to anyone at church about that during this series. Feel free to be totally honest about it. How are your thanks prayers going? Here is a prayer to warm our hearts and fuel our thanks. Whatever is raging around you right now. What if? Picture an alternate life without the Lord. And let that drive you to verse 6. Blessed be the Lord. Thank you, Lord. The final line of this psalm, verse 8, is a retweet from the more famous Psalm 121. My help comes from the Lord. Do you remember that one? Psalm 121 is a totally positive reflection on what it means to have the maker of heaven and earth helping you. Our Psalm 124, the same idea. But this meditation focuses on the negative aspect. What if he wasn't our helper? We often find it more natural to dwell on the prayers he hasn't answered, the things we wish God had done for us. What if he hadn't been on our side? Well, the short answer in this psalm is very clear. Total catastrophe. I mean, without the Lord, choose your favorite disaster movie. Basically, did you notice we would have been swallowed alive, verse 3? Anyone seen the movie? Nope. Nope. No one has seen Nope. Big thing in the sky swallows people alive. Verse 4, that flood that would have swept us away. That's Titanic. Goodbye, Leonardo. And then verse 6, pray to their teeth, like in Jaws, my very favorite of the genre. I've told our kids about Jaws. They want to know when they're allowed to watch Jaws. They're not yet. They're sort of wishing their childhood away, waiting for the day they can watch Jaws. Anyway, all these horrible calamities rolled into one is how it would have been. And it's obvious to some extent that these are metaphors. What was actually going on was people rising up against us, verse 3. It's about King David in the first instance, a song of ascents of David. We don't know exactly what incident he's referring to, but take your pick. Because basically from Goliath onwards, David's story was one of regularly being at death's door, escaping by the skin of his teeth, often against the odds, if the Lord had not been on his side. I know a guy called Alan who was made redundant from his city job in early September in the year 2001. He'd been due to fly to New York the following week for a conference with his team. The rest of his team did fly to New York for the conference, which was in the Twin Towers, where they all died on the morning of September the 11th. What if Alan hadn't been sacked? Well, David probably feels more like he was in the Twin Towers on the final floor where anyone had any hope, the last man rescued. He even named a place the Rock of Escape in 1 Samuel 23. Terrorized. Situation well out of his control. But the Lord. And the point here is David knows this isn't just one man's extraordinary tale of near misses. Because you see who else he draws into this in verse 1? This is not just fuel for thanks to him. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel now say, if the Lord had not been on our side. See, the king leads the song that is the story of all of God's people up against enemy attack is the recurring shared story of the nation of God's people, but the Lord, the great escape. And he says, let all Israel say, it's not always easy for God's people to join in this song. So think of them reading this psalm in exile, after exile, waiting for Jesus. That generation, hostility all around. Was the Lord still on their side? What about us? Do we feel able to join in David's song in our generation? In a world so broken, where God's good rule is so often mocked, where sometimes Christians are prey to the lion's teeth. Brothers and sisters around the world today are engulfed by serious discrimination, poverty, death for their connection to Christ. Would you have the guts to urge them to join in this chorus? These Psalms of Ascents, they're about a journey up home to the Lord's place. Our journey up home to the Lord's place. And on the journey, the waters can get very choppy. The promise when the Lord is on your side is not problem-free travel. It's of successful arrival home. And if that feels a bit of a cop-out, if that feels like saying God doesn't really make any difference now, no, verse 8 reminds us that the Lord made heaven and earth. He rules in all the tiny details. His people through the years have had plenty of near misses and lucky escapes on the road. Every one of them an act of his kindness for which we thank him. We may be far from home, but we're never far from him, from his help. And even when they do their worst, no God-hating government or force of nature or bullying boss or disease or devil has independent existence other than under the permissions given to them by their Maker. Our hope is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. You know this thing about thanking the universe? It's become this trendy thing that people say. You see it on memes. And I heard another celeb say it the other day. I think it was at the Golden Globes. Thank the universe. Thank you, universe, for all you've done for me. I find it fascinating. We've been saying in this series that to some extent prayer is natural. And it seems that the urge to thank someone or something out there is natural. Thank the universe is a bit weird, though, isn't it? Why are you thanking an inanimate object? How's that not the same as pagan worship that thanks the sun or the moon? And with the tragedy of feeling thankful and not knowing who to write the thank you card to. One of the great blessings of the gospel. We know who to thank. And this is even more specific than, oh, some people thank the universe, whereas we thank God. Our help is specifically in the name of the Lord, verse 8. Every time you see Lord like that in capitals, it reads literally Yahweh. One of my favorite Psalms commentators, Alec Mateer, wrote this devotional translation of the Psalms. I really recommend it. It's been a real go-to for me in devotional times, just picking up one of these each day. And he always translates it Yahweh when it gets to Lord, because he's on a bit of a mission, Alec Mateer, to make us use that word rather than the more general sounding Lord or God, because Yahweh takes us back to Moses, where he introduced himself as Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of promises, the God of deliverance. And from that time onwards, the theme tune of the people of God is rescue gets promised, rescue is achieved, rescue promised again and again. See, we don't pray to some concept or something just bigger than me, a named personal God who has form in coming good. But what if he hadn't parted the Red Sea or been by their side in the desert? What if Saul had finished David off? By the time you get to Jesus' generation reading this psalm, they could track a whole testament of what ifs to re-energize their prayer lives and warm their hearts in thankful praise. Actually, every detail of the Old Testament is a link in the chain towards our deliverance. So if you review David's story, you can rejoice that the Lord was on our side. What would have become of us if he hadn't been on King David's side? To which we can add, what if the Lord hadn't been on King Jesus' side when he was pressed in on? What hope for us if death had been the end for him, if he'd been swallowed alive? We can be sure that would be our destiny too. Think about the what ifs and let it fuel your thankful heart. These Psalms of Ascents, they come in threes. So 20, 21, 22 tell a little story within themselves, as it were. And then it's the same as you go through. So 3, 4, 5, another little story within themselves. But one of the interesting things you can do is put your psalm into conversation with the other ones that come in the same place in the next cluster. So the middle psalms, Psalm 124 that we're reading is one of those. The middle psalms are all psalms about help. And I think that helps give shape to our reflection on the what ifs. So go back to Psalm 121. It's quite general. Our help comes from the Lord. Have you known his help today? What if he hadn't been your helper? So many details he's provided. Daily bread, help in the battle with temptation, all those Lord's prayers that we mentioned last week that he's answered this week. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done, as the old chorus says. Or what about Psalm 127? We looked at this one a couple of weeks ago. It's another of those middle psalms about the need for help. Here's a what if. Unless the Lord built the house, those who build it labor in vain. What if we were laboring in vain? Church and everything to do with your faith, a complete waste of time. What if the person who told you the gospel had never heard about Jesus? Oh, they did hear, but Satan was allowed to snatch the seed away before it ever gripped them, before they ever had the guts to share that news with you. What if the Lord hadn't built you into his household and you'd never known a father in heaven? Or Psalm 130, it's another of those middle psalms. Here is a what if. Psalm 130, verse 3, if you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? What if the Lord held my sin against me? I wonder what you particularly feel guilty about this morning. What if you had to die in your sins? What if you had to fall into the hands of the living God in that way? What if hell was my only prospect? Well, I can't leave you on that. Verse 4, the very next verse there says, but with you there is forgiveness. Totally undeserved. There is forgiveness. See, understandably, we get consumed with the if-onlys and the unanswers and the things we wish he had done. That talk on unanswered prayer next week is really important. Sam have asked to do that talk. He's thought about this a lot because him and Fran have wrestled with this issue through tragedy in their family life. But I want to urge all of us as part of our devotional lives to engage in a regular godly reflection, you might call it Christian mindfulness, of what if no Yahweh on your side? Think about it. How your life would be so different. Your future without the Lord. Think about it. Till your heart is giving thanks. That's the aim here, that we bless the Lord. This is not about working up a particular emotion. One person's expression of thanks will look different from another's. But verse 6 is the place we're meant to be shooting for in our response. Blessed be the Lord. Thank you, Lord. What a relief for the Lord. Or have I forgotten my disastrous plight outside of him, started to take my escape for granted, functioned like it was inevitable or cheap. You know, I think ultimately how thankful our hearts are is connected to, do we have a right view of ourselves? Are we entitled? And maybe God should be thanking me for all the stuff I do for him. Or do we see ourselves as in peril on the raging waters without him? Do you believe this psalm basically describes your great escape is the thing? And will you let this humbling godly thought of what if renew your thanks that grace alone has brought you safe thus far, and grace will lead you home? John Newton wrote that line, "Amazing grace, slave trader, slave abuser, till he turned to Christ." Here's a picture of his gravestone. It's in a church near my dad's house, so I did a little pilgrimage to it one time and took a photo. It's an amazing tombstone. John Newton, once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had long labored to destroy. I mean, it's quite intense for a tombstone, isn't it? I mean, it's a really good tombstone. It captures the tone of the man, because when you read Newton, even in his old age, a believer for years, you get the sense that he never really got over his great escape. I once was lost, but the Lord, oh, if it hadn't been for the Lord. Is that the theme tune of your life? You know, it's the challenge for the people of God in every generation. And it is the secret to keeping going on the journey. Thankful hearts. It's a disciplined Christian thanks, let's be honest. It needs to be cultivated. I don't need to cultivate the if-onlys. The if-onlys seem to get into my head and be able to live there rent-free. But I have to cultivate the thanks. You know those Christians who you think of as superhero Christians? Because maybe they've endured and trusted Jesus through deep trial, maybe ongoing pain, disappointment in their lives. I'm thinking of some of you when I think of people like that. Well, they're not actually superheroes. People like that stay steadfast on the dark days because they cultivated thankfulness to the Lord on the ordinary days. Blessed be you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're on our side, by our side, every step of the journey. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Amen. Now let's be quiet for a moment, and just a moment to maybe start that exercise. Tell the Lord what you're thankful for. And now together we're going to pray this prayer. It's called the General Thanksgiving, and it's from the Book of Common Prayer. So together, Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you our humble and heartfelt thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and all mankind. We praise you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all, for your immeasurable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and the hope of glory. We pray that you will give us such an awareness of your goodness that our hearts may be truly thankful, and that we may declare your praise not only with our lips but in our lives, by giving ourselves in your service and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days. All honor be to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and through all eternity. Amen. We're going to continue in prayer.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and how it shows us your character and will. Father, we thank you that you want us to know you and want us to speak with you, and that we can know that when we pray to you, that you hear our prayers and that you answer them. Father, we thank you that you have saved us and you've brought us into your family, that we can call you Father because of Jesus. Father, we're sorry for the times that we lose sight of all that you have done for us, when we focus more on the things we don't have rather than the many blessings that you have given us. Father, we pray that you would convict us and grow us in a more thankful heart, that we would rejoice and give thanks for all that you have given us. And Father, help us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, knowing that our hope, that our home is in him and not in this temporary world. We thank you that you walk with us each day to help us to keep and to know you more. Father, we pray that we would know that more this week. Father, we thank you also for all the work that you are doing across the world to bring more people to know you. Father, we thank you for all the conversations and encouragement you have given Maxime and Demelza over the festive period. We thank you for the conversations with some of the mums in Noah's basketball team, for S and M, and the conversations that you have opened up. Father, we pray that as this year starts for Maxime and Demelza, that you would encourage them to trust and know that your word is at work in Bordeaux. And we pray that you would just encourage them and help them to be thankful for all that you are doing in those conversations around them. And Father, we pray for our world in the current climate of uncertainty, disputes and war. It can easily feel hopeless. Father, we pray that we would be reminded of how much you of what we do have to be thankful for. And Father, we pray for those Christians in who live in countries who are hostile to the gospel. We pray that they would cling to Jesus and keep a thankful heart in the face of such opposition. And we pray for all that you are doing in this world, and we lift it up to you now. In your name, amen.